Justin Wayne.
Listening to the show, we have Trevor Larkin. I'm going to speak to him in a little bit. Right now is a new this album is going to be coming out in January. It is very, very good, and has been kicking around for a while, and people are excited about it, certainly myself included. This is a band once called Field, now called Auditorium, a tune I have never played on the show before. Very excited to play this for you. This is One Time Never Hurts. That's Auditorium again on the Justin Wayne Show.
One time never hurts. I've said this line so many times. First I turn, make sure that my grin is right, sharp but much. I know you'll be waving your hands, touching it. shocking my lips like a vicious wrench. I own it, I'll be broken, McLeod. Be gotta follow my nose like a baby hound. I told you never to touch me. One time never hurts. I've said this line so many times. First I turn, make sure that my grin is right. Shepherd's
right, fantastic stuff. I'm just really excited to have that, to get that, well, to have that album in my hot little hands. Aren't you? I know you are. We have one more tune to play before we hear from, good old Trevor Larkin. Let's play another acoustic song, shall we? Let's see here. Oh, I know. Can you? For some reason I had almost enough music, but we'll put this in. Since I was just talking about him, he's called John Drake. He's going to be playing the tour dates sessions on the 20. I think I said the 23rd, but it was the 27th, which is a Wednesday. So apologies for that. I won't be able to be there. I'll be here with you. But do go down there if you have a chance. It's at the Monarch in Camden. Once again, this is John Drake, and this is a tune actually off the Recharge Radio sampler, which I think are gone. Perhaps a reissue is in order, because they're fantastic. Some fantastic tracks on there. This is Blues Away by John Drake on the Justin Wayne Show.
I was holding your hand like a candle, careful not to blow it out. I made excuses like a scoundrel and disappeared underground. The ghost of who I am around you had some better place to be. The joke, lucky to have found you, had to go and set you free. I talked this up and now I got nothing to say. Business as usual has got it in the way. Motionless now I sit without destiny. So please, oh, anytime, on any day, no one takes the blues away like you. Skin like an alien, a lonely planet looking for asylum and work in the afternoon. You turn around now, hey, don't you look familiar in an unfamiliar way. I said, no, honey, it's just that I'm a stranger and strangers all look the same. I talked this up and now I got nothing to say. Business as usual, it's gotten in the way. Motionless now I sit without destiny. So please, oh, anytime, on any day, no one takes like you. Like you. Oh, any time on any day, no one takes the blues away like you. Oh, any time on any day, no one takes the blues away like you. Takes the blues away like you. No one takes the blues away like you. No one takes the blues away like you. No one takes the blues away like you.
Right, well, as promised, we have the magical man himself in the studio. He's a recording artist, he is a session musician, and sort of an independent music pioneer, in many respects, I will say. He's called Trevor Larkin, and he is in the studio at the moment. How are you, Trevor?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us again. We just re-aired about a year ago. We spoke to you on the phone and mm-hmm. had a really good discussion about independent music and getting out there and we reposted it this summer while I was on holiday or on vacation, depending on the country you're in.
And that's right.
Got a lot of hits and a lot of listeners and a lot of people interested in what we're talking about. And you've done loads since then, so I'm excited to speak to you again. Has the independent music scene been for you over there in Washington these days?
It's been good. It's been very, very busy and very, very hectic and very, very stressful. But a good type of stress.
Sure.
You know, not the kick the door in the post office and mow people down type of stress. Oh, okay. You know, the good low grade, not enough hours in the day type of stress. So it's been a lot of fun.
That's good. Since you've been busy, it's interesting. Has the recession hit the West Coast music industry as much as it has everywhere else, or have you seen less of a decline, or how has it affected the music industry over there?
I think it definitely is a factor. I've noticed it. So I do within just sort of the umbrella of music, I do a lot of different things, and some of the things that I do have been affected quite a bit. Like, for example, I give private guitar lessons as well as the touring and the session work and the recording and everything else. And the lesson business has been hit pretty badly by the recession. I think people are very sort of careful where they're allocating their dollars these days.
Sure.
But then some of the stuff, really, you know, like the live performing has been great. I from friends of mine who tour a lot, they've said that the touring business is kind of tough at the moment. Mm-hmm. But I've been very busy doing sessions and sessions for other people and for bigger projects, and very busy working on my own stuff. And you know, I think one of the things just being an independent musician is you can't really focus too much on one area at the exclusion of all else. You kind of have to be prepared to adapt and do a bunch of different things. So that's kind of what I've been doing now, and I've been having a great time and having a lot of success at it.
Cool. Well, sometimes I forget to do this because, I mean, I've known you and your music for quite a while now, but just mm-hmm. will you give the listeners, especially the newer ones, just sort of a brief overview of who you are and what you do over there in Washington and then the West Coast?
My name is Trevor Larkin. I grew up in, I'm not going to go that far back.
Well, you're a Walla Walla, Washington boy with the sweet...
I am.
The sweet wine and the sweet onions.
And the sweet Washington State Penitentiary.
Oh.
The sweetest of all.
I forgot about that.
The Wa Deuce, it's affectionately called.
Ooh.
Yes. But as far as music, I went to music school. I went to Berklee College of Music in Boston, Massachusetts. Graduated from there with a degree in professional music, which is a degree in baloney, honestly. But it's but it's a degree nonetheless. And then, you know, I'm from the Pacific Northwest, obviously, originally, and Seattle has a tremendous legacy as a music town. And so rather than going to a place like LA or New York, I decided to come to Seattle. And, you know, over these past couple of years have ended up carving out a nice niche for myself where I support myself very comfortably full-time as a musician. I do a lot of, obviously, songwriting and recording on my own. I have several EPs for sale on iTunes, and you can go to trevorlarkin.com and you can go to iTunes there, or you can link to Bandcamp is another great service where you can buy music, and CD Baby and stuff like that. I had a rock band for a while called Garrison Frost that was together for a few years, and we made a full-length record, which is available on iTunes as well. And I'm actually in the recording studio now on the plush leather couch, getting ready to do some bass and guitars and other cool weedly kind of stuff on a couple of new tunes of mine for an EP or a full-length record. I'm not exactly sure what it's going to be yet, but that's probably going to be coming out, right around the December time frame.
Right. And in time for Christmas.
That's right. I'm very conscientious in that way. And then, you know, as I mentioned before, I teach guitar lessons privately. I have about 30 students a week that I see, which is tremendous. And then I also am very, very, very busy as a session musician. I've recently played on a couple of kind of bigger budget Hollywood film scores, and I play on a lot of different people's records, and I work with a lot of producers in town doing a bunch of different projects, commercial projects, again, like other people's records, other people's projects, and little odds and ends here and there. And then I tour around as well, too, time permitting. I haven't been doing as much of that lately just because the session stuff has been kind of taking up a lot of my time, but I do try and get out of town and play shows at least a week or so out of every month. So, sure. Yeah. So I guess that was a long monologue, and frankly, it was pretty boring. But I think you get the idea.
It wasn't boring. Well, let's hear what you do. This is a track. I think this is my favorite track off of your EP number two. There's a number one. There's a number two. Is there a number three? Did I miss number three?
There is actually a number three.
Oh, brilliant.
There's a number three, and I think this recording that I'm working on now is going to break from the numerical tradition a little bit, because I think it's going to be a little bit more in-depth than just, you know, three or so tunes on an EP. So
cool. Well, we'll hear from that in a little while, but right now this is called Being Right, and this is off number two. It's Trevor Larkin on The Justin Wayne Show.
I like playing music in the sunshine, like singing the melody of a quiet summer song. But this ain't the time for self-indulgent fantasies. I know I don't have very long. It's just the music's right now, and don't get me wrong, I don't know whose side I am on. But it ain't about being right, ain't about being wrong, ain't about being right, ain't about being wrong. It's just the music's right now, and don't get me wrong, I don't know side I am on. But it ain't about being right, ain't about being wrong, ain't about being right, ain't about being wrong. I get the sense you don't believe me, you're just the kind of fool who's heard it all before. But I ain't got time for your indulgent persistence now, I'm just heading out the door. It's just the music's right now, don't get me wrong, I don't know whose side I am on. But it ain't about being right, ain't about being wrong, ain't about being right, ain't about being wrong. It's just the music's right now, don't get me wrong, I don't know whose side I am on. But it ain't about being right, ain't about being wrong, being wrong. And you might give up on a race worth forgetting, sleep through the starting gun. But I can't give up when love is the greatest, love is the greatest one. It's just the music's right now, don't get me.
Once Again off number two, which you can get from, I've seen it on CD Baby, but I think it's on iTunes as well, and on trevorlarkin.com. That is Trevor Larkin, and he's still on the phone with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a fantastic tune. I think that's my favorite. What is, because it's, tell us what it's about, since we just heard it. Tell us what it's about.
You know, people have asked me that before, and honestly, it's about really nothing.
Sure.
I think it's like a tune like that is more about capturing a vibe than I think it is about a specific kind of a specific lyrical theme.
All right.
A lot of tunes that I write, especially kind of tunes on this upcoming recording, I mean, the lyrics go, you know, a lot more in depth, and there's a lot more going on, a lot more storytelling. With Being Right, it was just, I hadn't really written a tune before that was just fun, and there was just a big hook, and it was more about just kind of, you know, hanging out with friends and having some drinks and having a good time. So, in capturing that vibe, I just a lot of times when I'm writing music, I'm not a person that has like a big book of poetry or something. Like I wouldn't say like I'm an angst-ridden person. You know, I'm not pouring my heart out on the page every day.
You seem like a pretty happy guy to me.
Well, yes, you know. Well, I mean, having just said I'm not angst-ridden, I'm miserable on the inside.
Oh.
But Well, but some people will do that. Like that's a cathartic thing for
right.
people. They'll just kind of free write or they'll do poetry or whatever it is. I'm not necessarily a person that works that way. So a lot of times, what I'll do is I'll have a progression, and I'll be kind of freestyling a melody over the top of that, and then kind of whatever lyrics, you know, and then I'll basically sing kind of whatever comes to mind. And most of it is crap, but every once in a while you stumble upon a word or a phrase that really sits well in the song. Mm-hmm. And it's something that usually fits naturally anyhow, because it's sort of a stream of consciousness thing. And that was something that happened in Being Right. Like the first line of the lyrics, "I like playing music in the sunshine," is like vomit inducing in its cheesiness and lameness. but I hadn't really written a tune that was cheesy really before. Well, in my opinion, there are those who would argue against that.
But Justin Wayne likes the cheesy ones, then, I guess.
And I like the cheesy ones too. You know, so I just kind of ran with it, and you know, the music's right. But don't get me wrong, you know, the chorus keeps on going. It's just about having a good time.
Sure, good. Well, when we spoke to you last, you'd been putting your stuff on Facebook. Not that that's new, but a year ago that was sort of new, using Facebook mm-hmm. and Twitter and stuff to get out to your fans. How has that sort of progressed for you since then? And well, I think we were just talking before we did the interview about you just sort of got yourself out there on Twitter as well. How are you leveraging those little platforms to your advantage?
I think it's an ongoing process for me. Every day I'm learning something new about each platform.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I haven't kept up on it as much as I would like, because I've been really, really busy in the studio doing projects,
making music.
it's one of those, like, it's kind of interesting to see how, you know, in our culture now, where the social networking is so prevalent, and you know, as an independent musician, it's sort of just an underlying expectation that you have a blog and a Twitter account and a MySpace and a Facebook mm-hmm. and stuff up on CD Baby and a YouTube channel, and there's new stuff all the time that comes up, and all that stuff is basically, well, at least in my opinion, is sort of a given. If you don't have that stuff, there's kind of something wrong with you, because it's all free and it's all there and people go there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that pressure to always to just chronicle everything you do, and sometimes I like to step away from that and just sort of be in the moment and just get good work done, and then after the fact, just kind of, you know, get it all out and write a bunch of blogs or, you know, a bunch of updates and stuff like that. So it's been relatively dormant over the past few weeks, but I'm going to be starting a big campaign with YouTube videos, a couple new videos each week. I've just started a Twitter account, and,
right.
you know, the blog is going to be happening in a big way again. And I'm actually writing, as a companion piece for this upcoming recording, I'm actually writing sort of a to call it a book gives me too much credit, but just like basically an uber extended liner notes to it. So that's taking up a lot of my social networking time as well at the moment.
Sure, because you've got a YouTube channel where you've got like, this is how I play this really cool Jimi Hendrix lick, or because you're quite an accomplished guitarist and you're able to do stuff like that.
Yeah, like I started initially my YouTube channel just when I was, because you know, when you teach lessons, you know, sometimes students don't show up, and it was just to kind of fill just the jerks, and you know, and it was just basically just to fill time, you know. Yeah. And I figured, you know, if I just put a bunch of dumb noodly shreddy stuff up on the internet, you know, maybe some students who you know, who hear, prospective students who hear about me or whatever, can, you know, they can go on YouTube and they can check out playing, and you know, hopefully I can generate some business that way, which is what happened, which is good.
But I think, and that's how I found you first, because someone said you should find Trevor Larkin, but they didn't give me a web address, and I googled you, and I found your guitar lessons and your YouTube channel with your guitar noodling on it.
Yeah, no, that's cool, and that's something that the social networking is great. Because if you're, you know, like a multifaceted person, you can present so many different parts of yourself and just have a great time doing it. And that, I think, above and beyond, is the most important thing, and that's what really people connect with. I mean, you can have as many sort of social networking platforms as you want, but if you are just putting boring nonsense up there, it's not really going to resonate with anybody. So with it, you know, with the YouTube stuff, I'm going to put a lot more of my own performances on there. I've got I'm busy filming an ongoing sort of lesson series. I've only got one vlog posting up there, but I'm starting a video blog as well. Hmm. So starting in the next few weeks, it's going to be a lot bigger thing. Okay. For me now than it is. So it's fun.
And I suppose that'll be sort of leading up to the EP. Possibly album release here in December then.
Yeah, I'm gonna preview a lot of the tunes kind of on YouTube beforehand, and also just, I mean, I have a lot of tunes in the back catalog as well, so to get all, you know, to get kind of just versions of those up on YouTube for people to listen to. Mm. And hopefully enjoy will be a good time. Or I mean, frankly, they can loathe it as well. One of my favorite things to do on YouTube is just to read the comments underneath videos. Feel better about myself as a human being.
All right. Well, what is the, so you're in the studio now. How many songs have you got written out that you're going to be recording, or are you sort of writing them and trying to work toward a full album release, or where are you at?
Well, there are many, many songs that are written and ready to go. It's just a question of kind of picking out. That's always tricky when you start to put together any sort of compilation, even just an EP, is, you know, obviously you want really good songs on the album, but you also want the songs that will complement each other the best. Mm-hmm. And so there's always that sort of like, oh man, I really like this song individually, but actually I'm sort of dealing with that now. There's a song of mine called Could Get Better, which is kind of like an arena rock sort of like power, you know, like, you know, hands in the air kind of power pop type of thing. Mm-hmm. I really like the song, but juxtaposed with Poetry and Poltergeist and some of the more of the introspective tunes that are going to be on the EP, it sounds like the Jonas Brothers sandwiched between Tom Waits and, you know, oh, I don't know, Depeche Mode or some crap.
Sure.
So, well, actually, I sold my EP really badly there. I sound like neither Tom Waits nor Depeche Mode. But you get the idea. It just doesn't sound like it fits there. It's like peanut butter and pickles. It just doesn't work.
So you are trying to craft an album. I mean, a lot of groups and bands and places they're sort of moving towards just the single approach, just chucking a whole bunch of singles or, you know, whatever onto an album, because, you know, they assume that people aren't going to download the whole thing in iTunes. But are a lot of your fans still looking for those full albums, and is that why you do that?
I think a lot of people that I mix with and that I talk to are really excited about the whole experience of, you know, just putting on a recording with headphones and just listening to it from start to finish. And I think they'll, I mean, undeniably, Singles are kind of what are really big at the moment, as the music industry, or at least what remains of it, is trying to kind of figure out what the hell it's going to do.
Yeah.
But you know, there's always going to be a strong contingent of people who really want to hear full records. And plus, as a songwriter, it's a great challenge. You know, like, not only, you know, can I write, say, 10 songs that are great, but can I write 10 songs that sound like they go together? You know, it's a full experience. And I hope that's something that sort of takes over again.
Yeah.
And you know, and ultimately for me too, with this recording, like with any sort of independent musician, it comes down to budget as well. You know, I have a certain amount of dollars allocated towards this project, and when the money's up, the recording's done. So if that means you know, I can power through things and get a full record done, that's awesome. But if it means, you know, doing 5 or 6 tunes but having them sound really, really good, I would rather do that.
Yeah.
And just give people a really great experience with 5 or 6 songs than maybe do a full record and have it be lacking in some way.
Sure. Well, because you've done some of the recording in your own house and stuff before. I remember seeing pictures of you with a couple of condenser microphones in a front room or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the coolest things about being not being beholden to any sort of record company or any sort of bigger kind of corporate thing, is you can make music any way you want to. Mm-hmm. And every single recording that I've ever done has been very sort of significant and poignant in its own way. Like, for example, the first EP that I did, entitled Number One, was that's another thing that's intimidating about this upcoming recording, is I'm going to give it an actual title, mm-hmm. as opposed to just the number. So I got to think about that. But with Number One, that was right after my rock band had broken up, and I just didn't want to spend any time or any money dealing with logistics of any kind or anyone else's schedules or expensive studios. So I just set up mics at home and just did it. And it sounds gritty and it sounds grainy and it sounds a little bit kooky in places, but it was exactly what I needed to do at the time. And then the second EP has a couple of studio tracks in there, and then a couple of homemade tracks that I was just kind of inspired to do. And then the third EP, which is up on iTunes now, was just basically getting a bunch of buddies together up at a friend's cabin and throwing up some mics and having a few shots of whiskey and just kind of going for it. So it has that total, it's, you know, great sound, great vibe, but very, very, very much live. Now, this recording here is going to be more focused towards licensing opportunities and, you know, just a little bit more spit and polish. So it's going to be full-on studio and stuff like that. So every recording has kind of been a little bit of an evolution and sort of and had a very specific kind of context and agenda, which is why I think, like, you know, if anyone is foolish enough to ask me for advice on anything, just, like, wherever you're at in your development as an artist, document it, record it, even if it's just 3 songs. Like, get an EP out there, because, you know, it's just really great to have little time capsules that really kind of tell your story. It's very cool.
So that's interesting. A very interesting piece of advice. So you would sort of, like, because I would imagine some bands, you know, they're like, oh no, we need to really really work hard and work on our live scene and live act, and you would say, even if you're recording 1 or 2 songs, just to do that and to get that out there is whenever they can.
I think so. I mean, there are a lot of people who would disagree with me. There are a lot of people who, you know, put out one recording every couple of years and work really hard promoting that. I think as long as you're committed to your approach, I don't think you can really, you know, make too many mistakes. But I mean, technology is so accessible now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you have GarageBand on your laptop, you can throw up a mic and record a tune. And even studios now are, you know, it's a reality that you can go into a studio, because, you know, the technology being that you can have a home studio now that sounds great.
Yeah.
You can go into the studio and record so easily. I just don't understand why you wouldn't always be generating new material and documenting that new material and letting people listen to it. You can put them all on one big recording, or you can release them, you know, like we were talking about earlier, with singles or with EPs. You know, it kind of depends. But I think it's such a common thing to have musicians just sitting around BSing, going, "Oh, you know, we're going to get to that record. We're going to go in the studio," but they never do because a million, you know, little voices in their heads get in the way. Hmm. So I have many voices in my head. I should probably see a professional about that. So I try and jump in there and get stuff done when I can.
That sounds good. And we're definitely excited to hear the finished product of this next venture that you're doing.
Cool.
In the studio. Do you want to talk about your studio at all? Since I think your studio manager is quietly listening in. Do you want to say anything about?
She has a way of making me feel like I'm a sack of crap. No, I'm just kidding. She's smiling at that, which is pretty in character. No, you know, it's a studio called Rainstorm Studio, in Bellevue, Washington, which is just outside of Seattle, and it's a great space, great sounding room, and Katie and all the other folks at Rainstorm have been great to me. Allowing me to just come in and record basically whenever I can, and you know, really making an effort to kind of make me feel at home and accommodate all the, because I do my own stuff here, but then I also bring other projects in and refer people to the studio, and it's just it's cool developing that sense of community.
Nice.
You know, I'm doing work at the studio, but then also, you know, bringing other people in and I think as an artist, if you can find a space or a community of people who really believe in what you do, you know, hang on to that, yeah. and really cultivate that relationship, because it's going to be mutually beneficial, and really, I think you're a musician. I mean, certainly not to make money. You're a musician to develop relationships and to have stories and to share experiences, I've had a lot of great times at the studio. So,
well, it's nice to eat, and it's nice to live comfortably, I think, as well. And you can do that. I mean, you've proven that you can do that as a musician. I think you would probably agree with me, but I think it's easier and easier now with the promotion tools that are available on the internet to do that as an independent musician, especially if you're a solo artist and stuff like that.
It is. Yeah. No. It is. It is. And I can't remember actually where I read this, but it was. You know, I think it was actually in the concert, like what one of the founders of CD Baby or Discmakers, one of those things, where just talking about this new, because it used to be that you were kind of, you know, on a label and you had a lot of money being thrown at you, or you were destitute, you know, and there was very little in between. Whereas now, you know, there's that very real. Real reality of just the idea of the middle class musician, where yep. you're not getting rich, but you're paying the bills very, very comfortably and have a really nice quality of life, and you're able to make the music you want to make whenever you want to make it, and just sort of you know, call the shots and just share your art with people. And that's something that the internet is tremendous with that. I mean, you know, here we are, you know, I'm in Bellevue, Washington, and you're in London, England, and here we are having a conversation in real time. I mean, it's tremendous. And then, yeah, I sell quite a bit of music through iTunes and through CD Baby and Bandcamp and services like that, and that you know, pads the bank account nicely, and then the session things are really nice, and then teaching is a really nice balance with that. So I think if you're prepared to do a lot of different things and to just be professional, you know, there's a very real chance that you'll have a really, really nice career start to kind of unfold before you.
Cool. Well, tell us again where we can find you on the internet.
On the internet, if you Google awesome, you will find.
Wasn't your Facebook profile facebook.com/TrevorLarkinIsAwesome or something for a while?
There is, you know, if you want to stop on by and say hello at just like my, you know, just like normal Joe Schmo Facebook account, it is Trevor Larkin is awesome. And if nothing else, I hope that this interview has conveyed that fact abundantly.
sure.
And then my Facebook music page is just Trevor Larkin Music. You can follow me on Twitter at T Larkin Music. TrevorLarkin.com is a great bet. And you can link to all this stuff from TrevorLarkin.com. And actually, next week, I'm going to be doing a full relaunch of the website. So there'll be a brand spanking new TrevorLarkin.com to look at. And then, you know, you can go on iTunes and you can find music. And yeah, it's all there.
Very good, sir. Well, thanks very much for coming back on the program again, and certainly look forward to hearing the album when it comes out.
Well, thanks very much for having me. I appreciate you taking the time.
Well, we're gonna listen to the first one, the first what did you say, the first spit and polished one?
Yeah, this is gonna be track one of of the new recording. It's called Poetry and Poltergeists.
Well, give us a proper introduction, Sir Trevor Larkin.
To this song?
Yeah.
Should I put on my DJ voice to do it?
Yeah, you should. Go.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you. No, I'm not going to do that. let me see. Yeah, no, this is, as I say, this is going to be the first track on the upcoming recording by Sir Trevor Larkin, as Justin very correctly identifies me.
There you go.
And it's a song called Poetry and Poltergeists. So, thank you guys very much.
Well, youth is just a playground where the idealistic play. It's where I made mistakes that got me where I am today. I learned how to treat a lady there and how to make a friend. Inflicted on me wounds that even time could never mend. Well, I am just a traveler and a solitary man. I don't wanna be a burden to you now. I don't wanna be a burden to you now. Well, I'm no fine wine, I'm rotted meat and sour milk. I dreamt in burlap when I should have dreamt in silk. The hatred of the memory fuels the fire in the fight. It's all I have now in the twilight of my life. Well, I am just a traveler. Been broken by the rhythm of the second hand. But a friend in need is so transparent in his word. Seen as I've been cursed from now back till my day of birth. Well, I am just a traveler and a solitary man. I don't wanna be a burden to you now. I don't wanna be a burden to you now. Oh, now old, I was turned blind when I was young. Was taught to stand up tall.
guy's only game I play. Yeah, I'm to blame, but you brought me here. Embrace the sound, collect the years.
Oh, well, before we get to NGK, I just wanted to say thanks very much for listening, everybody. It's been a fantastic show, and thanks very much, Trevor Larkin. Thanks very much to the Little Philistines. Thanks to Randy and Luke and Al and all those of you that are in the chat room. Do join us on Friday once again in 2 days' time. We're going to be on the Friday forum, and we're going to have Mark Riley's going to be back with us once again, and we'll see who else we can pull into the hunt of the Friday forum. Alex is, I'm sure, brewing up a fantastic playlist of music, and it's going to be a fun time. So do join us on Friday, once again, 7 p.m. here at rechargeradio.com. And do I will get the podcast out, I swear. It's the and that's over at thejustinwayneshow.com, and I'm at Justin@rechargeradio.com. It's my email address. Drop us a line. Say hello. Rodrigo de Sá is next. And we'll see you very soon. This, once again, is a band that has just retweeted me or retweeted me or did something with Twitter. So go check them out. It's what is it? I forget now. NGK Forever or something. NGK for Life is what it was. NGK number 4, Life. So that's where they are on Twitter. Once again, it's Nobody Gets Killed. I found these guys on MusicXRay.com as well. Good tune. This is called Breakdown. Ending out the show. Thanks very much. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm to blame, but you brought me here. Embrace the sound, collect the years. The trade is equal, for the price. Deny the reasons, deny the devotion, the devotion in your eyes. Deny the devotion the divorce.
music. It's the Justin Wayne Show.
Get in touch. studio@rechargedradio.com. The best new independent music.